Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Welcome to Plain Market Talk. Today is Friday, December 15, 2023. Okay, it's 2:02 in the afternoon Eastern Time. Market's down just slightly, but basically at record highs. So we'll talk about what's going on there. We also have gold at record highs. So talk a little bit what's going on over there with the gold markets. And we're going to continue on. We're talking about S&P 500 index funds today. And we have some other news also. Yeah, right now the markets, Dow Jones Industrial Average down 0.19%, S&P 500 down 0.30%, and the NASDAQ Composite is even right now, up 0.00%. Okay, so what happened on Wednesday? The Federal Reserve at its Federal Open Market Committee meeting basically surprised the markets by indicating, first of all, that it would not be raising interest rates. That was expected by the markets, but it announced it now may be lowering interest rates, indicating 3 1/4% decreases for 2024. And the Federal Reserve is stating that its favored inflation index, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, they anticipate will decline to an annualized rate of inflation 2.4% for the 2024. A lot lower than 9.3% we had a year and a half ago. So anyway, the markets like that news. And so there may be a political aspect to it too. Federal Reserve answers to Congress. And even though it's supposed to be non-political, it also answers to Congress. And we've got, obviously, 2024 is a big election year, presidential election. We have the entire House of Representatives up for re-election, and one-third the Senate. And the worst thing Congress wants to have happen is the Federal Reserve overdoes it with these interest rate increases and throws the economy into a recession during an election year. So anyway, market's basically at record highs, so things looking good right now. So we'll see. We've got a couple more weeks in the year, and then we'll see what happens. But, you know, as I've talked about before, historically, the months of November, December, January have been the strongest 3 months of the year for the market. So we'll have to see. All right. Over in gold, I saw an article from Costco. Said last quarter they sold more than $100 million in gold bars. I guess Costco gets these gold bars in, these one-ounce bars that they sell, and they said they typically sell out within a few hours of when they get them in. So I guess you go on their website. It says customers are limited to 2 bars per Costco membership. All right. So Costco said they've been selling them for around $2,000 a piece. So what is the price of gold? Well, one place you can go to get the price is the website Kitco, KITCO.com. Kitco, KITCO. And then all you got to do is click on all metals quotes. And gold is a 24-hour-a-day worldwide market. And so as I'm looking at it right now, we've got gold at about $2,020.10 for an ounce. So one thing about gold, you know, I've talked about this before. There's not as much gold in the world as people might realize. All of the known gold to exist would fill one-third of one oil supertanker. So that's basically it. That is one reason the United States and other world economies are not specifically on the gold standard. There's simply not enough gold out there to begin to support the economies of today. Sometimes you also hear that the U.S. dollar is not backed by anything. It's just worth the paper that it's on, called fiat currency. Technically, it kind of isn't, then it isn't. It is backed by gold, just not at a fixed rate, because here, according to Kitco, if you pay $2,020.10 in U.S. paper dollars, it's technically a cloth, somebody's willing to give you an ounce of gold for it. So it is backed by gold. It's just on a floating rate. All right, so we had that news also. Okay, so what else we got going on out here? Citigroup, they told their workers, I guess, in the last day or so, they told them they can work completely from home the final 2 weeks of the year. But now apparently the employees are worried about layoffs. This is a time of year, unfortunately, that companies do lay employees off. Not saying that's good. It's just what they do. They do that for the year end financial numbers, basically are finished. So I guess that's what's going on there. They said a lot of their workers have been hybrid for a while anyway, working partly from home. But now they're telling them to work completely from home for the remainder of the year. So employees are worried that may lead to layoffs. Unfortunately for workers, though, a lot of times when companies lay people off, their workers' stock price actually goes up. So we'll see what's going on there. But we got that news also. Okay, we got a few stocks in the news I wanted to talk about. Tractor Supply. Now, you may or may not have heard of this company. This is you probably have. You might have seen their TV commercials. I know for years they had the country singer George Strait doing a lot of their commercials, and he actually is part owner of the company, or at least he was. I found out about this in the mid-90s. The concept of the weekend farmer, I didn't even know there was such a thing. I actually lived on a farm for a few years as a kid, but it's my grandparents' full-time farm. Yeah, I guess people that just worked their small farms on weekends. I found that out from a stockbroker I worked with, a weekend farmer. He probably still is. And Tractor Supply got going, providing equipment, everything else for weekend farmers. But this is a stock slightly down today, but something to keep an eye on. It's one that's done really well over the last 20 years or so. So the stock symbol is TSCO, Tom, Sam, Charlie, Oscar, Tractor Supply Company. Right now, $217.51, down 2.94%, down $6.59. Got a downgrade from, I'm not even sure which firm, but anyway, but here's the key. If you go back and look, this company went public back in 1994, $1.67 a share. That's adjusted for stock splits, but effectively $1.67, it's up to $217.39. It's come down some recently, but there could be some opportunities there. It's had some ups and downs. Back in April of this year, it was around $249, so down to $217 right now. So again, and then recently it hit a low of $187 back in October 23rd, and now back up to around $217. So basically, round off, $250 in April, down to about $188 in October, back up to $217. Yeah, I was looking at their financials. If you go to Yahoo Finance, just type in the name of the company, Tractor Supply Company, or the symbol TSCO. One of the headings you'll see is financials. And what we basically like to look at when evaluating a company's financials, first thing we want to see is the company growing its sales. And they really are. They've gone from $8.4 million in 2019, $10.6 million 2020, $12.7 million 2021, $14.2 million 2022, $14.9 million year to date. And that'll be a little bit higher as we get to the end of the year. So yeah, they're growing their sales. They are making a profit. Profits are steady. I'm seeing that net income down below. And then if you go over to the balance sheet, usually we like to look at liabilities. What do they currently own? Yeah, the amount they owe is going up some. I'm looking at it here from about $5.7 billion up to about $6.4 billion over the last year. So that might be a concern there, particularly with higher interest rates. But yeah, keep an eye on this one. There could be some opportunities there. Okay, so we had that news also. Okay, so continuing on with S&P 500 mutual funds, Standard & Poor's 500 index mutual funds. I mentioned the way these work. Your money's pooled together with a large number of other investors, and it's used to buy the 500 stocks that make up the Standard & Poor's 500, which they represent about 70% of the total value of the U.S. stock market. And you would be part owner of the world's largest corporations, Amazon, Apple, Walmart, and so forth. Last time I talked about why that investment has a tendency to work well over time. And again, I'm going to be talking more about index funds in the future, coming up, future sessions. There's a lot more index funds out there. We also have enhanced index funds. They go up and down twice as much as the market, opposite directions. I know RIDEX, the computer company, mutual fund company, sorry, RIDEX, R-Y-D-E-X, they've got all these enhanced funds. But we'll talk about those another day. But yeah, as far as investing in S&P 500 index funds, the one that really got it going is the Vanguard Standard & Poor's 500 index fund from the big mutual fund company Vanguard. That was started way back in 1974 by the head of Vanguard, a guy named John Bogle, B-O-G-L-E. He went by Jack, actually. I met him a few times. Actually, a good guy. But there's many others. Brokerage firms have them. Fidelity, Charles Schwab. Most of them are pretty much the same because it's the same 500 stocks they invest in. Where you want to be careful are the expense ratios. You know, I'll talk more about expense ratios with mutual funds upcoming sessions, but index funds by nature have very low expense ratios because they're not paying portfolio managers to, you know, figure out what to buy and sell and so forth. But some index funds have lower expense ratios than others. I did look up what are currently the five with the lowest expense ratios. It says here the lowest is still the, right now is the Fidelity 500 index fund, symbol FXAIX. Mutual funds have five-letter symbols ending with the letter X, so you know it's a mutual fund. So Frank X-Ray, Apple, Ida X-Ray. So keep an eye on that. It's got a very low expense ratio. The Charles Schwab S&P 500 index fund comes in right behind it, SWPPX, Sam William Paul X-Ray. And then the Vanguard one I mentioned, they're right there also. They come in at, they're also on this list, a symbol VFIAX, Victor Frank Ida Apple X-Ray. And I think we had one more, yes, State Street S&P 500 Index Fund, SVSPX, Sam Victor Sam Paul X-Ray. So basically, I just give them, you can usually just search them by name. Fidelity S&P 500, Schwab S&P 500, Vanguard S&P 500, State Street. So I'd have to see if there are others, but a lot of them are probably pretty similar. We also have what's called a closed-end investment trust. Basically, an S&P 500 fund you can trade in the middle of a trading day versus the end of the day. And probably the most well-known is called the SPDR, Standard & Poor Depository Receipt. It trades under the symbol SPY, Sam Paul Yellow. And that would be, they have a very low expense ratio also. I think State Street might be who actually issues that one. But anyway, that's another one to keep an eye on. So the thing about S&P 500 index funds or mutual funds, you can buy them directly from like Vanguard and so forth, State Street. A lot of times though, you can get them through your brokerage account also. What you just want to make sure is that the brokerage firm's not charging an additional expense fee on top of what you might get getting it directly from the mutual fund company. But anyway, we'll talk more about these going forward. Just wanted to give you a few names. They have different minimums. You know, you'd have to check in them. I know some of them have had minimums as low as $25 over the years. And, you know, you can just add to it as you wish. One last thing I want to mention before we wrap it up today. Yeah, as far as investing in mutual funds in general, we have this concept called dollar cost averaging. Like if you're putting money away like in a retirement account, for those of you that might have retirement accounts through your jobs, 401ks and so forth, most likely one of your choices, those are mutual funds, the investment choices, one of them certainly may be an S&P 500 index fund. So that could be a way to invest in it. But the idea of investing the same amount of money over a specified period of time, like every 2 weeks or so, it's called dollar cost averaging. Mutual fund price is net asset value. It's based on the value of everything the mutual fund owns divided by the number of shares. All right. So the idea is when the markets are down and you're putting the same amount of money in, you're buying more shares. So you can buy up to a thousandth of a share of a mutual fund automatically at the lower price. And when the prices are higher, you're buying less. But it mathematically, it's shown to actually work fairly well. So well, again, we'll talk more about that going forward. So one thing I want to talk about on the next few sessions, though, I'll get back to index funds, but I want to talk about mid-cap mutual funds. I've talked about large cap, large capitalization, talk about mid-cap and small cap, and also sector funds, mutual funds that invest in just specific industries like healthcare, finance, whatever it might be. So that'll be what we'll be talking about in the next couple of sessions or so. Anyway, I hope everyone's doing well. Bill Thompson, T-Bell, and I will talk to everybody again soon. Take care. See ya.